Thank you very much, Lindsay. I'll start my timer. And thank you, Susan, for inviting me on here. We find out in step one, when we read the doctor's opinion, and we find out through our lives that food for the compulsive overeater was never really the problem. We find that for true compulsive overeaters, food was the solution to the problem. And if food was the solution to the problem, what is the problem? The problem we find out is that when I'm not eating, I am restless, irritable, and discontented. Throw in scared to death, angry, jealous, comparing. Throw in all kinds of other emotions that will burst to the surface when I'm not eating. And I find out very soon that feelings, anger, fear, emotions, boredom, happiness, jealousy, not only are these the flashpoints, the trigger points to all the eating that I've done, but they are common to all people. That it's not just compulsive overeaters that have these emotions. It is any human being. But in a normal human being, the urge to eat is not triggered by the discomfort of the mind. So the mental twist is activated by the buildup of these emotions, happiness, jealousy, sadness, all these emotions, fear, all these emotions are what has been driving me into the food from the moment that I was born. And I came into my fourth step and I inventoried all my resentments and my fears, and I inventoried my sexual harms done others. And I kept having feelings and I kept having emotions. And I came into my sixth and seventh step. And in six, I became willing to have God remove all these defects of character. And in seven, I asked him to remove the defects of character because I reviewed their destructive force in step four. And then I get to my eighth step and I see the destruction, and I get to my ninth step and I start realizing that these promises of the program are coming true for me, and they're wonderful and they're miraculous. But I have not been eliminated from any vulnerability to emotion. I still get scared. I still get jealous. I still get angry. I still get happy. I still get discontented. And when I do, I want to use food to make those feelings go away. So what's a fella to do? What action can I take? Well, I'm glad you asked, because we have a step for you. And what I'm going to attempt to do in the next 11 minutes and 40 seconds is I'm going to attempt as best I can to dispel some of the mistakes that are made around step 10. And I'm going to do the very best I can to make it as simple as I can for anyone to follow. Let's go to page 84, and we're going to dispel two major myths about step 10. The first major myth, well, I'm going to let the book tell you. I'm not going to tell you. I'm just going to let the book do it. Let's go to page 84. And in step 10, we're going to continue. And we're going to see that the word continue is going to be mentioned four times in this paragraph. Four times. Must be pretty important. And I get calls from people from time to time that tell me, I worked the steps a number of years ago, but I'm still eating. Can you help me? And they don't continue and continue and continue. We're going to continue in 10, improve in 11, and practice in 12. Continue, improve, and practice. Let's go to page 84. This thought brings us to step 10, which suggests we continue to take personal inventory and continue to set right any new mistakes as we go along. That means that I am going to be doing fourth steps throughout my life. Now, we're going to talk more about mini fourth steps than we are about a full-blown four-step. This instruction is important. And from time to time, I pull out the paper and I pull out the pen and I do a four-step inventory. But let's continue, as it says, to do in the book. We vigorously commenced this way of living as we cleaned up the past. So let's dispel one of the major myths about step 10. And the major myth about step 10 is you do it when you've completed 9, and nothing could be further from the truth. Remember that we talk about working the steps in order, but we also work them together. And at the end of step 9, there's reference to step 11. And in step 10, there's going to be reference to step 12. We work the steps together. What steps do we use to clean up the past? 4 through 9. 4 through 9 is before 10. So we're going to do it as we cleaned up the past, not after we cleaned up the past. Let's see what it is we do. We have entered the world of the spirit. Notice that spirit is in capital letters. And as I do step 10s, and as I take step 10s, because I've been a sponsor for a long time, and I'm also on a lot of people's God squads, I'm very lucky, what has to happen over time is I get a stark realization that not only are other people human beings, but I am a human being too. Because in my ego craziness, I always see myself as different from others, better than others, worse than others. The ego has 3 jobs. Make me right, make me feel good right now, make me different from everybody else. I'm no better, I'm no worse. And I know how to look up at you, and I know how to look down on you. I don't know how to look at you. And this is teaching me to do this. And I'm becoming the man God intended me to be when I was born. Our next function is to grow in understanding and effectiveness. This is not an overnight matter. I'm going to have to work at this. And work at it I do every day of my life. And as I have a disease that is progressive, I must have a recovery that is progressive as well. And that means I have to do more and more and more and more. I really didn't want to do this tonight. Susan asked me, I find it very difficult to say no to her. And at first I don't really want to do this. And you know what I said to myself? I said, self, you, I have nothing else to do. You go and you serve God. And I'm glad I'm here. Now let's continue. It says it should continue for our lifetime. That's the third mention of continue. And this tells me that I'm going to be working these steps. I'm going to be doing this for the rest of my life. Continue to watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. So these things do not go away permanently. They come back. We did not get rid of them. We just asked God to remove them. Now we're going to take the action necessary to eradicate them temporarily. Continue to watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. What step did we use to deal with selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear? Step 4. When these crop up, not if they crop up, when they crop up, we ask God at once to remove them. That means we're going to be working steps 4, 6, and 7. Did you notice that there's no inference in here that this is something that you do in writing? And that there's no inference in here that says it's something you do at night or in the morning? It is you do it as needed. There's no instruction here that's at night or in the morning. That's 11, not 10. We discuss them with someone immediately, not the next day, not that night, not that morning. We discuss it with someone immediately, step 5. So we've worked 4, 5, 6, 7, and make amends quickly, 8 and 9. If we've harmed anyone, then we resolutely turn our thoughts to someone we can help, step 12. Love and tolerance of others is our code. So in this half of a paragraph, we have worked 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and 12. I challenge you, I challenge you to work 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and 12, 4, 5, 6 times a day, however many 10 steps you need to do, and still eat Nestle's Crunch Bars. You can't do it. Because what this step will do is it will give me an immediate access to the action necessary to purge these disturbances from my mind. And then in the last thing, it says love and tolerance of others is our code. And that means if I have to say the sick man prayer, and that means if I have to pray for the person, that's what I do. But getting out of myself by resolutely turning my thoughts to others really gives me that added boost. And it's no accident that what is to follow in the 10-step promises are what makes me or breaks me. The number one question that we get in vision, in a vision for you, is what is the difference between a recovered person and a recovering person? Well, they both are in a constant state of action. But if my life resembles, and we have ceased fighting anything or anyone, even alcohol, for by this time, sanity will have returned. What step calls me back by the use of the word sanity? It's 2. And if you've been around me any length of time, you know that I advocate 2 things above all else. Number one, this is not a program for people who need it. This is not a program for people who want it. This is a program for people who do it. And that the 2 most underutilized steps are 2 and 10, 2 and 10. Where I see relapse, I see 2 and 10 more often than anything. Sometimes it's 1, but more often it's 2 and 10. Because the word sanity is much more open-ended, much higher ceilinged, much more all-encompassing than sobriety or abstinence. Came to believe that a power greater than myself could restore me to sanity. That denotes that this is a process rather than an event. I don't have the time to go into the history of step 2, but the bottom line is this is extremely important to remember, that 2 and 10 and 2 and 11 are very, very married. Let's continue for whatever time we have left. We will seldom be interested in liquor. If tempted, we recoil from it as if from a hot flame. We react sanely, there's that word again, and normally. We will find that this has happened automatically. By the working of these steps, and particularly the subject of tonight is step 10. By the working of step 10, what will happen over time is I will fulfill the promise of the big book, not just in having a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, but I will get right with God, right with myself, and right with my fellow human being. This puts me in touch with other people constantly. And I know that's very frightening to people that have that 3,000-pound phone. But I am going to have to reach out to somebody, not text them, not email them. It's much more effective when I call them. As it says, we discuss it with someone immediately. We make amends quickly, and then we turn our thoughts to someone we can help. It's a very quick process. This whole step might take 3 minutes, 2 minutes. If it was a protracted process, if it was a long process, we wouldn't do it. The program is simple. The ideas are simple. But we have to keep doing them. And if we keep doing them, then every one of these promises will come true. There is no doubt in my mind, no doubt in my mind, that through the action of this step, this alone is the thing that for me keeps me out of the food, because I get disturbed, I get mad, I get scared, I get all those various things, because no matter how evolved my recovery gets, I will never rise above the level of a human being. And as a human being, people are going to hurt me. Things are going to disturb me. Life is not always going to stick to my script. And so by the magic of this step and the wisdom of this book, I have been in recovery for over 22 years. I've lost a little over 500 pounds and my life is good. Is it perfect? No, but it's good. I'm really glad to be here tonight. I'm out of time. And I'm really glad that Susan invited me and Lindsay. Thank you for your service to all of you who are doing service on this magnificent meeting. Thank you very much for making it possible. And with that, I will pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Harlan. Questions for the next 5 minutes for reflection and writing are, which of these promises are you experiencing in your life today, and which are you not yet experiencing? And we are warned against resting on our laurels. Am I resting on my laurels, or am I still working just as hard for my recovery?